Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome to the Lou Trek Show. Show number 17 for Monday, August 10th, 2009.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
And now, a man who's not ashamed to admit he cried during Tasha Yar's funeral. Your host, Lou Costanzo.
Sorry, I've never told you. All I wanted to say. And now it's too late to hold you. Cause you've flown away, so far away.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special tribute edition of the Lou Trek Show. Our main website is www.loutrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments. Our email address is loutrekshow, and that's all one word, at gmail.com. Keep your emails somewhat brief and to the point, and I will work them in as part of a future show. You can follow us on Twitter by going to loutrekshow.com/Twitter. You can leave us voicemail on Skype at loutrekshow.com or call the show directly at area code 630-WWW-TREK, T-R-E-K. That's 630-WWW-TREK or 999-8735 for those who like the numbers. If you're new to this show, it's a podcast all about Star Trek, and this week's show is a tribute to Starfleet officers who have fallen in the line of duty. This is also a special tribute to a long-lost friend. So, let's get started.
And we can't get started unless we have a co-host. Every show's got to have a good co-host. And since I'm the host, I'm always right. I know what I'm doing. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our co-host. And here we go.
Always got to be right with your little quips. We get it, man.
Haven't had enough punishment yet.
Have it your way.
Ladies and gentlemen!
And now, a man who faces 5 pain sticks and kills his chatish, all before having his gach for breakfast, your co-host, Brian Dentimore.
Koi kelet poop load, koi poop bet poo, yapo mafo jesu mi, same up to me.
Alright, Brian.
Kapla!
Kapla, Brian. What's happening with you lately?
Oh, not much. I'm going to see doctor this week. I'm going in having some exploratory work.
Yeah, I guess we can just call it you're heading to sick bay. I know you've already put in your leave request.
You know it's bad when a Klingon goes to sick bay.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah. I got something interesting that I thought you might even be interested in.
Oh yeah,
Pavel Chekhov. Our favorite Pavel Chekhov does not have a star at the Walk of Fame. Did you know this?
I did not.
Well, there is a letter-writing campaign to get him his star. He's the only member of the original USS Star Trek crew that does not have his name on the Walk of Fame.
That's hardly fair.
So I'm asking everybody who's listening to this podcast tonight, please take time and write to the Walk of Fame committee, and I'll give you the address here in a minute, and ask them to please, please allow this fine man to be put on the Walk of Fame with the rest of his fellow crewmen of the board the USS Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
The address is Walk of Fame Committee, care of C/O, Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, 7018 Hollywood Boulevard, second floor, Hollywood, California, 90028.
Okay.
Please take the time and write. It should only be fair that he should be on the Walk of Fame. If William Shatner could be on there, so can he. Okay. And I don't want to forget Starbase Indy. Yeah. www.starbaseindy.com. We're going to have the big Indiana convention there this year. This is a fan-based Star Trek club. Star Trek convention. This isn't run by some big corporation or anything like that. This is a fan-run convention.
Sure.
So, everyone, if you can, if you live in the immediate area of Indianapolis, Indiana, go to www.starbaseindy.com. sign up. It's $25 for the weekend.
Yeah.
$25 gets you into everything. Allows you to see all the stars and enjoy all the things that's going on at the convention. $92 a night for the hotel room. And some of these rooms are very nice, have refrigerators in them and everything. They're really nice rooms. It's a big convention area. It's a really nice place to go. I've been there before. The people there run it. And they even talk about having a Klingon party at the convention because there's supposedly supposed to be about 50, 60 Klingons at the convention.
Uh-oh.
And guess who's in charge of the facilities? The Dahar Master himself.
Really? Oh, that ought to be interesting. And if you can't afford the $92 a night, then Brian will take you in. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah, and of course, you know, I've so wanted to go to that, but unfortunately, it's the day after Thanksgiving, and if I'm not dead, I will be working. Because if I'm not working, then I'll either be dead or unemployed. So
right.
That's the way that goes.
Yeah, you work in the service industry, protecting the service industry, so.
Yes, retail. So, anyway, now, as I mentioned earlier, this show is going to be a tribute, and the reason why we're doing Starfleet officers who have died, or we're going to talk about what it's like to be a red shirt. But the reason why we're doing this, because I found out 2 weeks ago that somebody that I've known in my past, years ago, there was a guy who was on the radio here. His name is, well, he went by Don Glaze. I'm not exactly sure if that was even his real name, but he called himself the real Don Glaze. And I used to kid him. I met him a couple times at events or stuff, and I'd ask, who was the fake Don Glaze? And there was really no answer to that. He was always just the real Don Glaze. One of my fondest memories of his radio show, and I listened to it every morning, was he played a song by Jimmy Harnon and Cinch, Where Are You Now? Just after that song was over, he put on a little sound effect that said, Don Glaze, it's the only thing I need on in the morning. It was the funniest thing, because when he came on, he said, oh, thank you. I went ahead and came up with this, so I decided to make this in tribute of the real Don Glaze. And on the video will be, well, you'll hear the audio. You're going to hear him. One of the funnier songs, about the best man possible. This is the type of man you want to be if you existed. So, here's a little snippet of his radio show. This is of him and his wife, Susan. They were actually on the air together somewhere. I don't remember where this was, but he left Omaha many, many years ago, and I found out recently he died in 2004. The last couple months, I'd wonder where he went. I was going to call up another radio announcer and ask him, hey, you used to work with Don Glaze. What's he doing these days? How's he doing? And then I did a Google search of his name and found the memory that they did a tribute to him. So here we go.
Don and Susan in the morning.
These guys are dangerous.
You know, when you wake up, you're just like, you don't want to do anything, but you wake up to something funny. It kind of helps wake you up.
Nicely balanced with the greatest hits of the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I woke up to a lot of weird stuff with him recently.
Don and Susan Glaze.
Now I listen to radio in the mornings again.
On Eagle 99.9.
Hey, we got Butch in the air. Hey, Butch, how are you?
Good morning.
Good
Butch.
Morning. Where are you headed off to? What do you do, Butch?
Well, I'm kind of semi-retired. Headed off to get a divorce.
Hey, it's a great Monday.
What are you talking about? Literally, like on your way to the courthouse or what?
Down to the lawyers.
Down to the lawyers. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, hey, no.
I bet we could find a few dumb butts if we called the lawyer's office.
I bet.
No, what we're doing here is a new game called Dumb Butt. Is Dumb Butt there, okay? Now, when you were working, you knew some people that were dumb butts at your work, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody works with a dumb butt.
I work with the biggest of all.
I even work with a few.
The thing is that we're going to call the Waffle House. We got the number of the Waffle House.
Yep.
Now, Butch, what do you think? Do you think there's a dumb butt there? Do you think they'll put a dumb butt on the line or not?
Sure they will.
You think they will?
Sure they
okay,
will.
Let's call that one. Is that number ringing over there?
There you go.
There it is. There it's ringing. Shh, shh,
shh. Thanks for calling Waffle House. This is Lee. Can I help you?
Yeah, Lee, is dumb butt there? Let me talk to Dumb Butt.
Hello?
Who's this?
Me.
Who's me? Is this Dumb Butt? Hey, this is Don Glaze and Susan Glaze over at the Eagle. How are you?
I'm alive.
You're alive? You know, I asked that Lee for Dumb Butt, and she put you on immediately. Why would she do that?
Because she loves me.
It's just an affectionate name. All right, well, we got a winner here. Thanks again. Bye.
Butch, there's a Dumb Butt there.
Yeah, buddy.
You're a winner. What do we got for Butch? We give him a good prize.
How about
now?
A $20 gift certificate to Bucket?
All right.
All right. Thanks again. Thanks for listening to Dumb Butt this morning, too. No.
Brian. Yeah, he was quite an original.
Oh God, that was good.
He was the most popular DJ here in Omaha.
Gather around, my friends, and I'll tell you about a man who is adored by every woman in the land. He rides a big white horse. He's gorgeous, of course. He never watches sports, and he has never been divorced. He's the man. He's the man. He's the man who doesn't exist. After sex, he likes to cuddle. And then talk about your mom. And he loves to rock out too. Celine Dion. He's muscular and thin. He only has one chin. He thinks that Cindy Crawford is way too thin. He takes out the trash even before you ask. He never holds your head under the covers when he releases gas. He's the man. He's the man. He's the man who doesn't exist. He loves to paint your toenails and then give you a back rub. And when you can't button your pants, he says they must have shrunk. He nourishes your soul. He knows how to fold. And all his favorite underwear is less than 10 years old. He doesn't criticize or tell you how to drive. He knows that after sex you shouldn't give a high five. He's the man. He's the man. He's the man who doesn't exist.
Yes. Yes, that is.
I've actually heard that.
Did you really? I've never heard that before.
Yeah, believe it or not, Bob and Tom had that song on their show one time.
All right. So anyway, this, like I said, this show is dedicated to the real Don Glaze. And I know I sure miss him here in Omaha. Wish he was still here. And I'm sad that he's just not with us anymore. So, but we're going to go on. Now, I've got some interesting news. You want to hear? I have a news flash. I heard about it from... Again, GoDaddy. I heard about it from GoDaddy, the radio GoDaddy. So I thought I'd go ahead and let everybody know what the news is. You ready for this? This is fascinating stuff. You ready, Brian?
Ready. Go for it, partner.
Here we go.
Alert, alert, alert. This is a Lou Trek Show special alert.
Queen Elizabeth II launched her own website 12 years ago and even has her own YouTube channel. But now, Britain's royal family has taken another giant leap into the Web 2.0 universe. Yes, a few weeks ago, Buckingham Palace announced that it has joined the Twitter revolution. But a spokeswoman said neither the Queen nor other members of the royal family, that's the House of Windsor to you and me, would be tweeting personally. As of this week, the royal Twitter account has almost 12,000 followers, but Buckingham Palace isn't currently following anybody. Well, I guess that's because that's Scotland Yard's job to do. When asked to make an official comment, the Queen refused to go on the record, but a spokesperson who wished to remain anonymous said the Queen was quoted as saying... Yes, that's the Queen. She's on Twitter, man. You believe that?
Oh, believe it or not, the Queen's done something else, too, this week.
Really? What has she done now?
They had it on NBC News today. You know that when you leave the queen, when you leave the presence of the queen, you're not to turn her back, turn your back on her. You have to walk out backwards.
Correct.
They have removed that tradition now.
No.
Yes.
How come?
They just did. They had it on the news. They just had it on the news tonight. No more do you back out of the room when the queen's in there. You can turn your back on her now.
Yeah, really? That's not good. Do you remember a few weeks ago we did a thing that we were talking about the worst jobs of the Federation? No, I was just now flashing in my head for the queen. I would not want to be the royal wiper. I mean, you know she ain't doing it herself, so she's probably got the royal wiper. And he's probably tweeting out there, too, you know, something like, holy cow, the queen dropped a deuce today.
Oh, that's bad. That's really bad.
Yes, it is really, really bad. Okay, so now.
I do want to say one more thing, mm-hmm. To our audience out there who have been dedicated to at least downloading our show every week, mm-hmm. I'd like to apologize. 2 weeks ago, I was sick, and last week, Lou was on vacation. We didn't have 2 weeks' worth of shows. I'm sorry. I was not feeling good and everything the week before, and I can't speak for Lou being on vacation. He's got all the stuff over there on his computer. I would have ran the show just to run something. Yeah. But Klingons are honorable, and I apologize for both of us for not having a show on for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did a couple tweets, you know, from the road. One, I was in Ponca, Nebraska, Ponca State Park. And the first thing, I brought my notebook computer. Well, how stupid was that? I'm in the middle of the woods. Absolutely, you know, no signal whatsoever. What are you going to do? Yep, that's Lou. No signal. But my cell phone barely worked, so I was able to send a message to Twitter and say that, you know, no internet service, cell barely works, you know, please help or something. I don't remember. But anyway, we're going to be talking about Star Trek Death. And first, before we go into any, I'm going to give you some statistics. Go ahead and tell me what you got.
What, for deaths?
Well, I mean,
I have. Well, recently, Ricardo Montalban has recently passed away. And yep. For everyone who doesn't know who he played Khan.
You didn't say that right.
K-H-A-N.
No, you didn't say Khan. You said his name right, but you didn't say it right.
Khan!
That's right.
To be polite for once.
Oh, well, you can't.
To me, the loss of this actor was a big loss to Hollywood. I mean, this man has played a lot, not just Star Trek roles. He's played in the Planet of the Apes. He's played various sci-fi. He's played various television roles throughout his career. He was a very noted actor, very recognizable actor. Yeah. And to his loss, to me, was a big loss to the acting community with his passing. And I just wanted to add him into the list of our fallen begone folks tonight because he deserves to have the recognition other than a footnote in Yahoo News.
Yeah.
Okay. The man was every bit as good as any actor that's ever been out there. And he should be recognized for what he's done. And I wanted to send my tribute to him. We also lost somebody else that was special to us too this year. We lost Gene's wife, Nigel.
Imagine.
And the USS, when I was on board USS Indianapolis, my wife wrote a very touching eulogy for her passing. And her loss was also felt this year too. So we've had two major members of Star Trek universe pass away here this year in 2009, and I wanted to bring those up as well.
Absolutely.
In our little death thing today.
You bet. Absolutely. Yeah.
We will never have her nice, beautiful sounding computer sound across our keyboards anymore. No more Loxana Troy to cause Jean-Luc Picard to lose what little hair he has left.
Yeah.
To drive William Riker insane, being his mother-in-law.
You bet.
Riker will be able to do the Riker maneuver without interference or empathic notions of mother listening in on the conversation.
And no one for Odo to pour into.
Yes, that Odo sure be lost with that.
I'm sure he will.
Odo. Of course, he's got...
Oh, Kira.
He's got Kira Nerys. He can pour into her.
Oh, well, that's true. That's true. Yes, that's true. He probably pours into... Anyway, go on. So, as I was saying... So, I queued up a little... YouTube video, because as you know, when it comes to dying on Star Trek, nobody beats the red shirt. You know, we don't
and
have
kept the tradition. The red shirt killed himself in the new movie too.
Yes, he did. He was nuts. That's
yeah, he
true.
Dove right into the drill like yep. a good soldier.
Yeah, well, he was, and of course, he was the only one that was carrying the explosive devices. Why couldn't we all three be carrying them? I don't know. Well, because we needed him to vaporize him, or vaporize
himself.
Well,
no, he was the only one who knew how to set them.
Well, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's true, but still. Anyway, so let's do a little video here. This is called Red Shirt Boogie Blues. This is what it's like to be a red shirt.
Please, Mr. Captain, don't send me outside. I said, please, Mr. Captain, don't send me outside. If you beat me down that red shirt, I got no place to hide. I said, please, Mr. Doctor, you be red and I be blue.
Red, let me be blue.
Yeah, please, Mr. Doctor, you be red, I be blue.
You be red, let me be blue.
Just this one time, Mr. Doctor, you be me and I be.
You be me, let me be you. You be me, let me be you.
Well, I woke up in the morning, saw that red shirt.
Uh-oh, not the red shirt.
Yeah, I woke up in the morning, saw that red shirt.
Uh-oh, not the red shirt.
Well, I knew some bad gonna happen. I just pray, don't let it hurt.
Oh, no, don't let it hurt.
I hate pain.
Oh, no, don't let it hurt.
Well, put that red shirt on, you had to die.
Oh, no, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, put that red shirt on, you had to die.
Oh, no, I'm gonna die.
Had to call up my baby and say, baby, 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 don't you cry.
Bye-bye, baby, bye-bye.
Never like bye me anyway.
Bye, baby, bye bye.
Please, Mr. Cap, don't set me outside. Send me outside.
No, no, send me outside.
Cause you beat me down that red shirt. I got no place to hide.
Oh, no, no place to hide. Oh, no, no place to hide.
You can dress me up in blue, dress me up in gold.
Let me be gold.
You can dress me up in blue,
dress me up in gold.
Blue,
let me be gold.
But you put me in that red shirt, Captain, I got no chance of growing old.
Never be old. Never, never be old.
Oh, please, Mr. Doctor, you be red and I'll be blue.
Red, let me be blue.
I said, please, Mr. Doctor, you be red, I'll be blue.
You be red, let me be blue.
Just this one time, Mr. Doctor, you be me and I be you.
You be me, let me be you. You be me,
all right.
Let me be you.
Now, let me ask you this, Brian.
Ask away.
Let's say you went through 4 years at Starfleet Academy. You told your mama, guess what, mama, I made it. And I'm going to be on the Federation's flagship. So you're done, you go through your graduation. You got a couple more nights on Earth before you have to join your ship. And you get there, you go to the quartermaster, and he hands you a red shirt.
I gotta be asking them, why in the world are you putting me in security for?
I'd be like, no, screw this. I'm in the wrong place. I think.
Yes, I am, because I left the academy as a medical officer.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So they handed me a red shirt. I know something ain't right.
That is not right. So I went ahead and I was looking for some things about the red shirt, and I found a guy named Matt Bailey. Actually did a thing about, he's a marketing specialist. He talks about analytics and marketing, and he did a little segmenting of data for Star Trek. And it turns out, when you talk about the shirt color that the person is wearing, this is how it happens. There's blue shirts, yellow shirts, and of course red shirts.
Right.
Of all 69 episodes, they have 430 crew members, okay, on its 5-year mission. Went for 3 years, 69 episodes, gives you a data. During that time, 59 crew members were killed during the mission, which comes out to about 13.7% of the crew. So your overall conversion rate of 13.7, and here's how it works out. Blue shirts were the luckiest of all. There were only five blue shirt deaths, which comes out to about 8% of the total deaths of 59 crew members. Next up from there was yellow shirts. Yellow shirts only died at 10% for 6 deaths. There were only 6 yellow shirt deaths in the whole run of the series for 10% of the total 59.
So that's 16% of the crew.
18% right there.
18%.
18% of the 59 crew members were yellow and blue shirts. The rest, which include engineering, because, you know, engineering, I believe, wore red. Engineering and security. This was not a good time for security. I mean, Jesus, if my crew members died off like this, I'd say there's something wrong here. 43 red shirt and 4 engineering gives you a total of 47 red shirt deaths for 73%. What's that tell you?
91. Where's the other 9%?
No. 75%.
Well, that's still only 93. Where's the other 7%?
Well, 73, let me see. I thought it was 75.
18 and 75 is 93.
Oh, well.
Last time I took basic math.
Well, okay, well, I suck at math. But the point is, 43 crew members died who were on red shirts. Of the red shirt deaths, 57% were beaming down to the planet. They died beaming down to the planet. 42, or 43, I guess, were on board. Okay? Now, why? This is what happened. In the 5-year mission, there were 130 fights over the 69 episode. 18 of those 130 fights resulted in a fatality. And what's even worse than that is 13 out of those 18 fatal fights was a red shirt. That's amazing.
Wasn't good being security back then.
yeah. Red shirt fight fatalities. The red shirt fatality episodes, 8 involved multiple fatality occurrences involving 34 red shirt crewmen, and 9 were single red shirt fatality situations. So then there are factors of what could increase or decrease the survival rate of the red shirt. Okay, you ready for this one?
I'm still laughing my ass off of what you got so far.
Oh, yeah. All right. You know how there's always the running joke about Captain Kirk and the alien women?
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, that's the best thing that could ever happen to a red shirt. Okay? Here are the statistics. You figure... Just a second. We're talking about those 18 fights. Okay.
Yeah.
Episodes with fights, 55. Probability of a fight breaking out, 70%. Kirk Conquest episodes equal 24. Kirk Conquest plus fights equal 16. Kirk Conquest plus redshirt casualty equals 4. Okay, so the point is, only 4 times did a redshirt die when Kirk was with his alien woman.
But, in a fight.
Yes. Well, no. Just, casualty. Just a redshirt casualty. Redshirt death plus fight plus Kirk conquest equals 3. So, I guess what it all boiled down to... Oh, let me go on here. Probability of a redshirt casualty, 53%. 14% of the fights ended in a fatality, with a 72% chance of fatality if you're wearing a red shirt. Now, a probability of a red shirt incident, any incident when Kirk has a conquest, is 12%. So the point is, whenever Kirk's getting it on with an alien woman, they only
you're
die.
Safe.
Yeah, they die 12% of the time. When he's not, they die 53% of the time. Okay, or 72%. Shit, I'm losing this here. The moral of the story is, when Kirk beams down to a planet where there's a woman and there's a man with her, a fight breaks up because he gets jealous, right? And a red shirt dies. If he beams down to an all-woman planet, red shirts live. So the moral of the story is, don't ever beam down to a planet. Avoid Klingons at all cost. And if you must beam down to a planet, only beam down to a planet run by women. If that happens, your red shirts will survive.
Hey, you know what's so funny? Most of your red shirts end up being captain of the ship eventually anyway.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Well, that's what's so pathetic about it.
Hey, red shirt, guess what? we're gonna make you captain really quick. Trust me, you were in a red shirt. You're gonna make captain very, very fast. The only problem is you have to survive that long, and the probabilities are stacked against you. Okay.
Yeah, so. Because they're all ensigns.
Yes. Well, of course they're all ensigns.
You never see anything higher than an ensign.
I don't know how Scotty ever made it. Yeah, really. How did Scotty ever made it? Because it looked like Scotty was always in charge of the security force.
No, Scotty was never in charge. He's in charge of engineering.
Yes, but he seemed to beam down with the, I don't know.
He beamed down, but there's a good, there's another good case. Okay, being chief of engineer, how many times did Scotty die?
Yeah.
Chief of Engineer made him invulnerable to death in the red shirt curse.
How did he survive so much? All right. Well, and that is red shirt death.
Now, how many engineers died? You said only 4 engineers out of all those red shirts were
true.
Devs were engineers.
That's true.
So if I'm a red shirt, I don't want to be in security.
No, you want to be in engineering.
You want to be an engineer.
And if you're a next generation, you don't want to be in front of a console. No one wants a console to explode in their face.
Yeah, or better yet, have the view screen blow up in your face.
Mm-hmm. Or let
what was it, Lieutenant? I can't think of the guy who was playing him, but he was on the navigator side of the con, because Deanna Troi was on the operations side. And that view screen blew up in Nemesis, and guess what happened? Boop, right out the door he went. He was a red shirt.
Oh, he was a red shirt, huh?
Yeah, he was a red shirt. He was a command officer.
I see.
In fact, he was the second in command, third in command.
You know, I'm trying to remember what color shirt Deanna wore when she finally got into uniform.
Blue.
Was it blue?
Oh. Yep, she was a counselor, so she wore the medical blue.
There
blue,
you go.
Medical science blue.
Then she was safe.
Yep, she was safe. Now, see, that all changed in next gen, because then
that's
it's
true.
Converted over to the yellow shirts.
Yes, Command was red shirt.
Command went to red shirts, which didn't help their situation. They still had some people die.
Not many, though.
Now, yeah, but, well, all the blue shirts got their big hit was when they were setting up that big firewall to stop the rescue that one facility, and all the and a lot of the blue shirts got caught in the firestorm, and they had to make do for themselves. And a lot of the blue shirts took a hit, took a big hit on that one.
Okay, now I found something online for you that I thought you might be interested. I can send you the link, but for £43.99 for 44 pounds, obviously this is British. You
That's
can
probably
get,
about $100, I think.
Probably. Why do they get things so damn cheap? You can probably get, or you can get, a Klingon language wired standard keyboard. There is a Klingon keyboard, I kid you not. Here, I'm
I've already got that. I've already got that ad.
Oh, you've already got it? I was gonna
And it's $50 for us Americans.
There, I just sent you the link to this. And I'll put it in the chat in case.
It'll allow you to type actually in Klingon, if you know how to spell in Klingon.
Really? So now it will come on the screen in Klingon, or what?
Yep, it'll come on the screen Klingon and everything.
Can you change it back if you're a really good typer and you don't need to know what key it's really supposed to be?
I'm not for sure. All I did was read a little bit of what they described on it. See, there's typing in Klingon is not that hard because most of the dictionaries are based on English anyway. Like my name, Karad. Okay, it's basically you use the same K in English. You would use the same K in Klingon. Okay, whether it's capital and where the apostrophe is will tell you how you say it.
Interesting.
So it's just it types up like a regular. It's the letters are just like your standard keyboard. The only thing you'll have differently is you'll have a lot of THs. You have more THs and CHs on your keyboard. So you'll have a key for those.
Wow.
But outside of that, it's just basic standard English keyboard. Only it's in Klingon, so you have to know the Klingon language and the letters. And I have the Klingonese lettering fonts and everything to do that with. So I could actually write in Klingon if I wanted to.
Really?
I don't. In fact, if you look at some of the Indianapolis' logos, some of them are actually written in Klingon. Hmm. And if they like, welcome aboard the USS Gorkon, I think is when you come on, it rolls Klingon and it flips over English.
Yeah,
that's an example of it because everything it's typed in English is typed in Klingon.
Okay, cool.
Letter for letter.
All right. Well, then, of course, for those of you who are watching the video of this, we're going to have to end the show here because I got to go and pick up my wife and daughter at the school. But for those of you watching the video of this, we can't possibly let this go unless we can see how Tasha Yar died. So right now, it's going on screen. The mud monster is rising. Oh, Dr. Crusher looks perplexed.
I'm Commander William Riker of the USS Enterprise.
The man, the beard.
Armus, why are you here?
Armus!
We mean you no harm. We have injured crewmen. In the shuttlecraft, we need to get to them. May we pass?
You haven't given me a good enough reason.
Preserving life, all life, is very important to us.
Why?
Why not?
We believe everything in the universe has a right to exist.
an interesting notion which I do not share. You may leave now, if you wish.
We are not going without our shuttle crew.
I warn you.
Enough. We have people who need attention. We won't hurt you, but we must help them.
And of course, he was this big old oil slick thing, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's what, like 6th episode into the season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it was a little later than that, but that sucked. And of course, when she did the whole funeral thing, that was sad, you know.
Yeah, that was. I think what was an irony is they turned back around and popped her sister out in an episode.
Oh, yeah. Now, she was hot. It was great having you again. Of course, you're always as crazy as usual.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm glad to come on.
Today was a tribute not only to Don Glaze, but also to Majel Barrett and Mercato Montalban. So I picked out an independent artist song that's just fitting for the moment. Tonight's independent artist music is by Albert Isaac, and the song title is called I'm Missing You. Give a listen, and I'll be right back to wrap it up. Albert Isaac, and the song is called I'm Missing You. How pretty. All right, Brian.
I'm here.
Thank you for coming
tonight. Time to wrap this show up till next week.
That's right. All right, and I will have a link to Albert Isaac's webpage on GarageBand on the main page here in a day or so, and have this edited and posted real quickly. But then again, if you're listening to this, you already know that because you got it. So, anything else you want to add, Brian?
No, just to have a good week, and I'll see you on. I'll try not to be on World of Warcraft next Monday.
No problem. Head on back. We're done. So, all right.
I zoned out. I am so embarrassed.
That's okay. That's all right, man.
I never zone out that bad.
No problem. It happens.
We will be here next week, folks, and we will still keep doing what we do best, talking track on the Lou Track Show.
You bet. So here we go. I want to thank everyone for listening to tonight's show. As I said earlier, this show is dedicated to the memory of the real Don Glaze. I know you're keeping everyone in heaven entertained, so until we meet again, rest in peace, my friend. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Kaplan.